Let's check now on this 29th day of October what happened in Chicago at the Marketplace with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. They're located in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Let's hear a little bit, Jackie, about what happened in the Marketplace in Chicago. Why is it that beans rallied for the day?
Well, I think it's motivated by a lot of different reasons, the primary reason being that the rail issues are just wreaking havoc with bean and meal delivery across the United States. And it isn't necessarily that it isn't available. It's just not getting to where it's supposed to get. When you look at crush margins, they jumped from $1 a bushel to $2 a bushel. So there's a lot of competition going on for beans. And that's being magnified by the fact that China is not delivering methionine into the United States. And that's a key component in hog seeds. And so that's forcing those producers to use more meal. So we've heard that some end users are even double booking meal to make sure that they can get some from somewhere. But, you know, we all know the same thing. You know, this too shall come to an end at some point in time, because if meal prices get priced out far enough, other people will start using things like DDGs in its place. But for tomorrow, we're all going to be watching to see if there are any cancellations in export sales. We're hearing about a lot of cancellations at these prices, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to show up. And corn has been riding along on its back. The whole ride we've had here has been a short covering rally. It has not turned into a buying rally at this point in time. Open interest continues to go down. And so the funds that are speculative funds are trend followers. And so these guys are on board, and that's why you're seeing corn going up, and you're seeing wheat going up, and you're seeing beans going up in a time frame when you normally wouldn't see it. So it's a great opportunity for any guys who hadn't priced, or especially for those guys who are being forced more or less to sell across the scale, you know, rather than paying the high storage prices. Thank the Lord we've got this going on. Makes it pretty tough for guys who have to make margin calls.
Yeah, so
you know, this you have to reward this type of a rally. You know, either, you know, if you're long puts, roll your puts higher. Like for 15, you know, move them up. You can move up 40 cents in a lot of cases for about 21, 22 cents. You know, if you've got cash opportunity, do it in cash. You know, there's just so many things that can be done, but you just don't want to let this pass by.
Well, I'm wondering about some other things that are in the marketplace for the soybeans. You sound really convinced that this is a short-term bump in the market. On the flip side, Dr. Cordonnier is cutting his potential for soybeans out of South America already.
Well, he is. He cut it by 1 million metric tons, but remember, he's already 3 million metric tons higher than the USDA is. So, you know, a cut by 1 million metric tons is not, you know, in his particular case, is not as significant as if he was at or below where the USDA is. Yes, he has. He's done that primarily, I just talked with him actually, just because of the fact that we're outside the optimum window for planting beans down there. They're going to have to replant some of their early beans, and they figured they'd lose about 3 to 4 bushels an acre on early replant. And so it just makes it tougher. In Argentina, they're arguing about what the acres are going to be, because right now on rented land, they estimate it takes about 21 3/4 bushels to meet the rent, and it's about 21 3/4 bushels to cover the cost. In other words, you have to have about 43.5 bushels just to meet your expenses. And most of the time they use about a 50.5 bushel yield. So that doesn't leave a whole lot of room in between for the, you know, for the farmer himself. So it's interesting, and there's no incentive at the moment for the Brazilian farmer, although they claim that they did sell some yesterday, to actively sell, because the real has dropped since Dilma got reelected, and therefore because they're paid in U.S. dollars, they get more in their local currency by hanging on to the beans. So there's just no incentive there to sell. And Brazil did something really weird on corn. They announced today that they're going to buy all the remaining corn up at $2.60 a bushel U.S., which is their support price. Originally, they said they weren't going to do that. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting, too, to see if they, you know, Brazil got some good rains over the weekend. It looks like they're going to get even better rains this week. And when they once get back in the field, Dr. Cornier said, you know, just because they're late planted, never count South America out, because they can still produce a heck of a crop.
You tend to watch moving averages and some other items that are technically driven. You talked about the funds following, being trend followers. Are there any marks that you've been looking for in the bean market?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the hundred day moving average, that 10.50 and a half in November, is certainly that. And I would bet that unless export sales are not as good as I think they're going to be tomorrow, we'll probably try and hit it tomorrow, because we have to remember that Friday is first notice day.
Right. So we're at 10.43 at the end of the day today. So 10.50 and a half is the move you're expecting.
Not very far away.
Right.
You know, as far as that goes. And,
right.
And, you know, then if we get above that and we can close above the 100-day moving average, then you're maybe looking into the 1070 level. But, you know, it's a circumstance. We are at the end of the month, too, so you just don't know what to think over the next couple of days. Corn actually had a great close today, close over the 100-day moving average on the daily and the 20-week moving average on the weekly. And, you know, so from a technical standpoint, those are good things. The other thing that had a reversal today was a dollar. It reversed from going down to up. As soon as the Fed came out and said, you know, they're likely to wind down the bond buying, but on interest rates, you know, we probably won't do too much with them. And I'm not really surprised. You know, Janet Yellen is brand new. And if you look back over the years when we got a new Fed director, or new Fed chair, they basically do nothing to make any changes, usually within the first year. You know, they just kind of sit back because they're not going to cause a lot of problems. So I would guess that we'll have this first year to be pretty much the same as it was a year ago. In other words, interest rates probably won't move very much. They'll probably leave them at zero for a while. And then once we get further into her tenureship, then we'll start to see more of her really come out and what she wants to do. But right now, you know, it's interesting how the market can just totally ignore other things that are going on. You know, from a technical standpoint, we're moving. Like I said, these are great opportunities. People have to take advantage of this. Because from a fundamental standpoint and the size that we've got, you know, we've got demand. There's no question about it. It's just, where will we be when we once get to the point where crushers do have enough? And they will get there. We know that. Or they'll source it from somewhere else. So I just want guys to really, really take advantage of this and use it to their best interest and in the best interest of their businesses.
Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and we'll talk with you again in a week.